prayer. Father, we ask this evening that you grant to us wisdom and revelation, that our minds be enlightened by the teaching of your word. We ask that you open our understanding to the end that everyone will receive fresh revelation, fresh application, as touching the truths in the wisdoms available in Christ. Let us behold him as he beholds us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. Today, we want to begin another study. A different study that I titled The Wisdom in the Wisdom of God. The Wisdom in the Wisdom of God. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Where we'll start from, that may not be our major text, but just a point of reference. Though we will read three down, but I want you to pay very good attention to this, because it will clarify a few concepts to us. What Peter was saying there, and what he was not saying. It says, Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The key word there is the word like precious faith. When you say like precious faith, what are you referring to? Of course, faith doesn't give us much concern. Is the word like precious faith, which is a word in the Greek that means or that implies, or let me is the word isotimos, isotimos, isotimos. Isotimos is taken from the word isos, isos, which means equivalent. It's always used for things that are equivalent, of the same honor and privilege. In fact, some will call it what deserves the same respect. So when it says like precious faith, you know, sometimes there's distinction in faith, not necessarily because faith is distinguished. Or by the time you read Romans 14:1 and says those that are weak in faith, alright, that already presupposes that these folks are weak in their Christian conduct, which is called faith. Then again, you can have where Paul writes to Timothy and he says, be an example of a believer in faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 12. But here he makes a conclusive distinction, a conclusive similarity by saying, like precious faith, that is the kind of faith that deserves the same respect. So, that means that every believer, alright, in Christ, or like he said, from the righteousness of God, deserves the same equivalent respect. Now, look at how he addresses it further. First, the key thing in verse 1 is the word like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not two knowledge or two kinds of knowledge. When it is the knowledge of God, we can say referring to that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is the knowledge of God. Now, he uses a word that Paul was the major, the major user of this terminology, and that's the word epignosis. epignosis, through the epignosis of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, notice it says, grace and peace be multiplied. Now that gives you some concern, because that will mean grace can be multiplied by prayer, or grace can be multiplied by just some experience. But let's first of all look at the word multiplied. The word multiplied is the word plethuno in the Greek. P-L-E-T-H-U-N-O. Plethuno. It means for that thing to be at the maximum capacity. So, for something to be used in the maximum capacity. For example, when, I'll give you an instance. If you use all these Wi-Fi's, then the devices, they'll tell you that, well, it can take up to 5 devices. And then you use 1. They use 2. By the time you get to the 5th one, that is the plethuno of that device. So it's not a multiplication of the device, but it is the maximum limit, as it were, of the capacity of peace. Now when it says grace and peace, again, they are not two different elements. That is grace, which is the peace of God, be multiplied. For example, let's look at Matthew 24 verse 12, when Jesus spoke about the end time. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound. Matthew 24 verse 12, the love of many shall wax cold. You need to know that that word love there, for those who like to be fixated in words, that word love of many shall wax cold is agape. And why did he say that? Because I've said before, agape is not the love of God, it only describes it. Philia is not the love of man, it only describes that there are times when the love of God is also called philia. For example, when we have brotherly love is philadelphia. That is, to love people that you are from the same womb. Because the word Delphos or Delphia is from the same womb. So, when you say the love of men shall wax cold, that is, people shall no longer be sacrificing for each other. That's what it means for the love of men shall wax cold. Is that clear? Alright. So you also have, that is iniquity. But it's used a lot of times in the book of Acts. When it says, the number of the disciples increased. Acts 6:1. It increased. Then again, Acts 6:7 again, the same word, the disciples were multiplied. Now you say that, does it mean disciples reached the maximum capacity? No. Whenever it is used for persons, it doesn't refer to maximum capacity. Whenever it is used for things, objects, they refer to maximum capacity. So again, Acts 17:7, the increase of Israel in Egypt. Acts 9:31, plethuno is the word we are looking at. Acts 9:31, the church increasing. Acts 9:31, the church increasing, that is, by the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Acts 12:24, the word was multiplied. The word was multiplied. 2 Corinthians 9:10, multiply your seed sown. Then Hebrews 6:14, that oath given to Abraham, in blessing, I'll bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Then the one we just read, 1 Peter 1:2, and then Jude 1:2. Let's look at that Jude 2. Grace, sorry, peace and love be multiplied. So go back to that 1 Peter 1:2. Again, what we are teaching is the wisdom of or in the wisdom of God. And God helping us, we're going to be very practical on the term wisdom in the epistles. 2 Peter 1, though it's in 1 Peter 2, but 2 Peter 1. Through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it will say, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge. Now the question is it the grace that is being multiplied or the knowledge? The construction makes it a little bit difficult because you will see much later that the focus of the writer was actually knowledge. So, in other words, what he's saying is, grace and peace are available unto you, grace that is peace, available unto you through the increase of the knowledge of God. Through the increase of the knowledge of God. So, the plethuno will be on knowledge, where things are getting to its capacity, or better still, increasing literally. The word epignosis is used 15 times in the New Testament in Greek, not used once by Jesus. Because he couldn't have. He could never have used epignosis because he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, John 16:12, he will guide you into all of the truth. So Jesus' materials never had epignosis. He couldn't have been teaching it. Okay? So epignosis is used 20 times in New Testament Greek, and Paul alone has it 15 times. Just Paul. 15 times. In the prayers, most especially. But then you have Peter used it here in 2 Peter 4 times. 2 Peter 4 times. 2 Peter 1:3, he repeats it again. You know, we read verse 2 where he says, verse 3 again, through the knowledge of him. So you see, he's repeating that word. Then again, verse 8. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So you can see that when he says, we'll come to that, when he mentions is not unfruitful, which is to bear increase, you see that means that what we're saying earlier will be the knowledge. Do you understand? Look at that 8. So what we are saying is the knowledge, because the emphasis was not on grace and peace. The emphasis was on what? Knowledge. He mentions knowledge in verse 2, verse 3, and then eventually in verse 8. And he uses the word epignosis. Don't forget that. Then in 2 Peter, upright, chapter 2 and verse 20, if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter is worse with them than the beginning. So, some can be a difficult text, but we've studied that before, so I won't go to that. So, he's talking about the focus of Peter, and there's a similarity here now between what Peter said and what Paul emphasized in his epistle. Notice how it began. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. That's a form of the way Paul prayed. You know, that your eyes will send me light, you may know what is hope of his calling. You know, that you give the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge of him. It's the same breath of what he is saying here. So you can take what Paul said in Ephesians 1:16, for example, to 23, and take what Peter said here and then say, and you see something in a moment. So he says, so notice what will increase. Again, what will increase is the knowledge. Or better still, the man increases in the knowledge. Epignosis is the word. So look at what is according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and God. Let me pause there. On Sunday, I remember, I don't know whether it was first or second, I think it must be second, when I told you the danger of the word all. Can you remember? You remember that? You have to be very careful of the word all. Every time you read it, the word all must always be construed in context. Don't try and read something into it. For example, you want to tell believers that they have healing in Christ. Not a bad thing to tell them they have healing in Christ. Then you go to Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, shall he not with him freely give us of all things? And say, healing is yours. While this latter statement is correct, the premise is wrong. Because that's not what he was talking about. In verse 28, it says, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8. Then verse 30 tells you, he says, to him he did foreknow, to them he predestined, conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Said, to whom that he predestined, them he called, to those that he called, he justified, to those that he justified, he glorified. Notice, what shall we say then to these things? What things? What he said in 29 and 30? So, if God be for us, who shall be against? That is based on these things, we can see that God is for us. Said, he who spared not his own son, but gave him for us to die, shall he not with him, that is, shall he not with giving his son to die, freely give us of all these things? That is, he's telling you that by the death of Jesus, that is where the predestination, the justification, the glorification, that's where it came from. That's the danger of using the word all. So it will be all these things. So it will be what things you will see it there. Hallelujah. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, remember I was talking to a reformed person, Ephesians 1:11, he says, he worketh all things after the counsel of his will. I said, all these things after the counsel of his will. What are the things? Verse 3, he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Alright? In Christ, in heavenly Christ Jesus. 4, he has chosen us in him. Okay, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Okay? He has predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So that's what he said, that he works all these things after the counsel of his will. Not that he's working my promotion and then he's working my marriage. It's all these things. Are you following what I'm saying? When it says all things are yours, 1 Corinthians 3:21, he told you what they are. Whether it's Peter, whether it's Paul, whether it's Apollos, say whether it's death or life. We don't want to put that part. Things present, say all things, that is, all these things are yours. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Alright? Somebody made a joke and it was very funny. It's a cousin of mine. He said, I used to believe in the saying that what you do not know does not hurt you until I sat for my postgraduate exams. Say, what you don't know will hurt you in an exam. You will cry. So we say, you have an exam and say, I can do all things through Christ. Well, that scripture can apply. Because he said, I have been instructed, okay, to know both how to about your life. you can apply both to abase and to abound. You know, when you pass, you abound. When you fail, you abase. So you can actually do all things through Christ that strengthens you. But anyway, in the context of that statement, it means I can do all these things. What are these things? I can abase and I can abound. It's not that you go on a plane and say, are you a pilot? Don't worry, I didn't go for training. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'll get down from that plane. And I'll say, I can also disembark. through Christ that strengthens me. And first of all, you know, what I just said now is one of the things we are going to learn in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Is what we are going to learn. The wisdom in the wisdom of God. You know, some people begin to quote scripture rather than get down. There's nothing as miraculous as somebody telling you what he wants to do. You don't need anything again to get that. You understand? So anyway, so where are we? That's the danger of the word all. Alright? Is the word, where is it all? Always put all this. This. So the this will be there. Okay? Is that clear? Mm-hmm. For example, when you say, are all apostles, that is, he set some in the church. Firstly, apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers, and after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and that is of tongues. And it says, are all. Actually, there is no comma in the original. So, that is, question mark. So, you say, all apostles, all prophets, all teachers. Of course, when it says, are all, if you are going to read that, it says, are all these. That is, are all the gifts that is set in the church apostles? No. It's not saying, can you speak in tongues? And he said, and people just say, do you speak in tongues? Or do all speak with tongues? And they answer no. Did he ask you a question? Do all? They say no. So that's the danger of using the word all carelessly. Just say all this. It will make a lot of sense. Because it's not difficult to know that in 1 Corinthians 12, for example, he was talking about ministries. You know, he had told you about gifts. Then he moved into ministries. So it was in ministries because when he said, they are the gifts for the same Spirit. Difference of admission for the same Lord. So he begins to talk about the ministries. That is when he begins to talk about the physical body. That they don't play the same function. That is ministry. So whatever he was discussing from verse 27, 28, 29, 30, 31 was definitely not the gifts, but the ministry of the gifts are the operations of the ministries. Do you understand? That's how to read the Bible very intelligently. And because he discusses more of operations in chapter 14, when he begins to talk about the utterances. And when he was going to talk about utterances, the operations in 14, now focus on the utterance gifts. So in chapter 12, verse 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And what was he talking about? To prophesy. Okay? Zach thought this before. So, that said, that's the danger of the all things. So when he says, he had given to us, okay, all things. So why not let's say all these things? Right? All these things that pertain unto life and to godliness. How does he give us those things? Through what? Through knowledge. Okay? With the epignosis, pay attention to something. He repeats the word knowledge in 5, but it's not epignosis. We'll come to that. That has called us to glory, which is doxa, and virtue. All. Do you know that when you say, one believer says, you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, they don't even know what it is. He has given us all things. All these things. God can't give you all things. That including giving you poison. Right? Or say all things are mine, including someone's wife. You get it? It's not funny. It's actually true. You know, so when I say all these things, we are going to read those things in that letter.
Is that clear? We're going to read those things there. Anyway, it says, who has called us the things unto life? The word life is Zoe. And godliness. Two elements of one and the same. Huh? Life and godliness. Two elements of one and the same. Very fine. What's the word godliness? The word godliness is the word eusebelia. E-U-S-E-B-E-I-L-I-A. E-U-S-E-B-E-L-I-A. Which has to do with the original use of that word is devotion. Something that you use to pay homage. To serve another. So, or to serve or to be devoted. Let me put it like this. Devoted of God, by God, or for God. So that which makes us devoted of God, by God, is not talking about godliness, like being like God. No. So in this, it will apply to two things. Number one, your worship. And then number two, your conduct. And it's not difficult because he says, he has given to us. That word given is also vital. You know, we have looked at the word gift, doron, doria, dorima before, dosis, can you remember? Charis, charisma. So this one is doriomai, D-O-R-E-O-M-A-I. Doriomai is from doron, which is a gift. It means something made available to you, something you have access to. So we can say we have access to all things that pertain to Zoe, that is godly conduct. Whenever the word godliness is used, it's always, that's the word eusebelia, is something that is shown. Is shown. So when you said, he has given, he has made available, donated, from the word doron, you see that word in Mark 15, verse 45. When, remember that the body of Jesus was in the custody of the soldiers, and then Joseph of Arimathea now went to Pilate, being a recognized person by the virtue of privilege. And then the Bible says in verse 45 that Pilate gave him. That is, he made the body available unto him. That's the word doriomai. So he has made it available unto us. And whenever you have the word doriomai, you now decide whether you will use it or not. You know, Arimathea now decided to take it to his own dedicated tomb. Something like that. So he said, who has called us unto glory and virtue? The word virtue is arete in the Greek. A-R-E-T-E. Arete means something, is used for products. Things that are sold in the market. Or sold or bought. Whenever it is used, it has to do with the word excellence or good quality. He has called us to glory and to virtue. The word virtue is arete. You will see it in 1 Peter 2:9. Who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light to show forth the praises of him. Remember, the praises of him. That is, the qualities of him. To show forth the praises. The same word used in 2 Peter chapter 1. For a product that you want to display. As a good product. A good brand. So he has given us all things, all these things, so that we will be seen as a good brand. All these things pertain to Zoe life, which refers to homage or a conduct that is of God by God or towards God. Again, how are these things given to us? Through what? Through the knowledge. So our focus should be on knowledge. Knowledge of Him. Notice it said knowledge of God. Then he now says of Jesus Christ. No, we started with that in verse 2. So of Him will be of what? What is consistent? Verse 8, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 20, Jesus Christ. So is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the epignosis, which is not the four gospels, but relates to the Jesus raised from the dead. A knowledge by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following? Good. So, he says, these things are available unto us by knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whereby are given unto us. He repeats it again. Are given unto us. So two times. Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. That we might become, which, for the sake of time, I don't want to explain the grammar, can also say that we are being or we have become partakers of divine nature. The word partaker is the word sharers. Koinonos, K-O-I-N-O-S. Which is a companion, that is a sharer, somebody that you are in the same trade, you own the same property or the same good. Look at Luke 5:10. When the fish was multiplied, and the Bible says, Peter now beckoned on their partners, those that walk together with them. Again, in 2 Corinthians 8:23, Paul, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 8:23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. A partner. Philemon 7. Koinonios. Philemon. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love because of the power. Because of 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. You see me as a partner, receive him as myself. A companion, someone you share the same thing. So now follow the trail. It says in the knowledge of God, when we begin to walk in the knowledge of God, you know, there are great and precious promises given available to us. And it says that we have been given all these things. That is, by the virtue of all these things, all right, we have become partners together with. That is, we will be seeing ourselves walking with God. That it will be walking with God. So, what Peter is teaching is not exactly what you have in Christ, like spiritual growth. He has a foundation of what belongs to us, but it's passively said. What he focuses on is spiritual growth. Are you following this? Are you following this? So let's start again. We said that the focus of his teaching is knowledge. Precise, accurate knowledge, epignosis. That in epignosis, we start to see, alright, things that pertain to Zoe, which refers to godliness, Husabalia. So he now begins to explain. You know, we said the word all these things. So we must be able to point out what the other things are. Verse 5. Are you following? And beside this, giving all diligence. What's the first thing he says? Add to your faith. Is that what he said? Are we together? Now, where did he first mention faith? That was the first thing we talked about. That we all have like precious faith. Everybody. Every believer. So he said, now add to your faith. That is, you are born again. Now add this to it. So what is he teaching? Spiritual growth. Do you understand now? Add to your faith. The word add is the word epikoriogio. Never mind. I will spell. Forget the pronunciation. Before you write all manner. Like omolobi. For E-P-I-C-H-O R-E-G-E-O. It means a richly supply. It's used to nourish. A rich supply. Now notice, who will do the supply? Who will do the supply? You. They say God will. So, how would the supply come? Through knowledge. These things, have they been given unto you? Yes. So when you have precise knowledge of them, you will add. Do you understand? Add. You find that word, add, which is the word supply. Let's see the uses. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sow, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He ministers. He supplies. Galatians 3:5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit makes available to you the Spirit. Did you notice that we are probably using a synonym of the word doriomai. God has given. You also have to give. Do you understand? So, supply of the Spirit, Galatians 3:5, Colossians 2:19, supply of the body, in the body of Christ. Then, 2 Peter 1:11. Remember that one. So an entrance shall be made, ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ministered unto you. Supplied. So, like I said, the word means to nourish up something, to make it available. So, epignosis, what it does for us is to make available what belongs to us. So when it says, add, it doesn't mean to increase, it means to supply. Where do you supply? Obviously, you cannot supply yourself because it belongs to you. So, whatever it's referring to is in your godliness. Do you understand? Is it clear? You know, we started with godliness. He has given us all things that will make us show forth His praises. So, supply these things. Supply it towards men. Make it available to men. Men, you read, by the time you read everything they are talking about, that we're going to read, it is you and men. Men do not need your believing. You are the one that has believed. That's why I say, add this, supply this. Do you understand? Do you get it? God is not supplied because He has already made available unto you all things that pertain to life, which is godly living. So, it now begins to tell you what are these things. Do you get it? Is it clear? So don't say, I have all things that pertain to life and godliness, I can fly in the sky. Well, you can try it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual development, which relates with your conduct amongst people. Is that clear? So, when it says, the things that pertain to life and to God. You know, using the epignosis, which is exactly what Paul used in his letters when he's writing about spiritual development. Precise knowledge. So, what are the things? He mentions them. We can just run through them. Just briefly, because that's not the subject. I just wanted to start with that. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And notice he doesn't use the word add more than once. Knowledge temperance. Temperance patience. Patience godliness. Godliness brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness love. Charity. If these things be in you, and abound. Not to. If they be in you, that is, they abound. They are seen. They make you that you need not barren, nor unfruitful where? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. When say these things, don't forget, the things that pertain to life and godliness. But he that lacks these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That is what Paul would have said. He lives like a mere man. Do you understand? You get that. It's the same language. That when you find a Christian not walking in these realities about himself, it's like he has forgotten that he has been purged from his sins. What he's saying basically is that the man is not living like a Christian. Is that clear? So you will be fruitful, which is growth, spiritual growth. Let me see how that clears you. That text clears you. But notice the focus. The focus and the way this happens is by epignosis. Precise and accurate understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a precise and accurate understanding or knowledge of the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what happened to Jesus upon his resurrection. So how is it working? It works by epignosis. Philemon 6. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. Philemon 6. So epignosis always bears fruit. Epignosis is not quoting scriptures. Even though you can't have epignosis without quoting scriptures. So don't yet clap for yourself. And that's what I'm saying. I don't have to quote Bible. Says the other side. Paul was in captivity. I don't think he was borrowing Bibles. Can I have the King James? He was quoting. You get it? Was quoting. So you must know. Must be able to quote it. One of the good things about being able to quote scriptures, I didn't say regurgitate, is that it gives you the ability when you're on your own to think over it. Just comes to your mind. Everybody quotes things. Some movies, some football, some blogs, some music. On their own, because they know they are on their own. They're not even singing it consciously, but it's coming in their mind. So when you study the Bible like that and you are able to quote the scripture, it's to the point that you can apply your mind, you can think about it on your own. So epignosis is the key here. Precise understanding. You know the Bible, listen carefully. The epistles do not, as much as the epistles don't go against it, the epistles do not make a noise, or even it doesn't give a special place, or doesn't even mention at all. If it does, very insignificantly, any other kind of knowledge. Think that's why that knowledge exists. If you read 1 Corinthians, what we're going to get to, it's almost like Paul reduces the importance of knowledge that we get in schools. It's not a rating in the scriptures. It's not a means to judge things. What is given preeminence is epignosis. Precise knowledge of the person of Jesus. That's it. So what we're looking at is wisdom. We said wisdom in the wisdom of God. Don't forget the background I laid here, because we're coming back there. That it is our duty to apply things. You know, that word add to your faith can be apply. Right? Is that correct? Apply. That is, ever since you have believed the gospel, now add this. How do I know what diligence is? How do I know what virtue is? How do I know what love is? In the knowledge of Him. I must find the temperance in him. I must find the charity in him. I must find the brotherly kindness in him. It will be seen in him. Are you following what I'm saying? So James 1:5, a very interesting place to start. I read someone say this and I laughed. James, when he wrote his letter, it's because he had not come in contact with Paul. That if he had now written the rubbish he wrote. You know, many of you were like that until you came to LMA. You'll be talking like you were drugged. You know. The fact that you understand eternal salvation does not give you authority to talk anyhow. You don't even know whether you understand. You get it? You don't be talking anyhow. How can you say that about James? It's you that does not understand James. And that's why you go and listen to Paul's three men. You will appreciate James when you listen to it. Exactly. If whatever people accused James of, Paul was worse times three. I don't know. James 1:5. Now I've been there before. I've done it before. I even told one Christian in 1996. I'll tear away your book of James. Can you imagine? God is faithful and merciful. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. People have questioned the rationale of this portion of scripture. Let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraid not, and shall be given him. The word wisdom there is the word Sophia. S-O-P-H-I-A. Is derived from insight. To have insight. It goes beyond awareness. But insight. Some people call it special skill. I won't want to say that yet. It's like the way, for example, I have an iPad. I have a fair knowledge of how to use it. But when there are issues, I tell people that have insight into the machine. Now, one time I was in Singapore, went for a conference, a Kudom Academy conference, 2008. And I bought this laptop from a brother, dear good brother. And it charged us quite some money. And I felt that this machine is able for me to prophesy the future. Because by the time in 2008, I think I bought 2007, I think it was about, was it 300,000 or something? 300 and something thousand. And so, I was carrying the thing. Like the gate of eternal life, and I keep, you know, as the love of things. And so, I had a problem, you know, in the hotel I stayed. So I, you know, I said I couldn't connect with their server. And all that. I couldn't, it's very simple, just, and I said, I couldn't, and I was really, my international, I was really fumbling. He said, okay, let's call the guy who's in charge of the IT in the hotel. And the hotel is 7-star. 5-star, sorry. So they asked me to call, and I called. The guy said, what's the model? And I said, well, yeah, I was really fumbling. So the guy said, you know what? He said, go to, so he now wanted to know what kind of model. He said, I should go somewhere. I did. I was, he said, so. And he was telling me what I was looking at. Said, what is that? And I said, eh? Said, now embarrass me. He said, the one you got is not the original one. It was in the Kochi. 350K. He said, it's not the original one. He said, you will know by this. He said, you go here and then, that is Sophia. He did not have to get the machine like this. He just was telling me. He said, so what am I going to do now? He said, well, I should give him like 2 minutes. So he called. He said he will help me configure something. So I'll be able to use it. He said, but it's going to give me problems, but I should just manage it. So he said, how do I come? He said, oh, I'll tell you what to do. So he called back, and I said, yeah, go to the right, I'll go to the right. So he has a Sophia. I am his servant. And the laptop is supposed to be mine. So that is Sophia. He has insight. Insight. He talks with intelligence. So that's why Sophia is used for intelligence, also for skillfulness. In fact, when it is translated into Latin and then eventually to English, it is sophistication. Sophistication. Some have called it working knowledge. I know many of you went to study computer science. It's only the science you know. Up to your fifth year, you're doing physics. 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 This is chemistry, biology. You know, people were doing their computer science, they were doing binary. Some of the first time they ever see a computer in their life, probably when they graduate. There are some secondary schools like that. Their first experience in the laboratory, to see the laboratory, is a week to the final exam. And they will queue. It's your turn. You don't care if people pass WAEC. You should know that they cheated. You cheated. So, working knowledge, that is what is used. Sophia is what is used. Usable. Working. You know that guy, the call he made is what is usable. It went straight to the point. Do this, do this, do this, do that. And there will be some folks who know everything in their head. A friend of mine, she made the first startup. So she went to a university in Europe. So the other actor I question, she goes, you know the way we do it after all the handouts. Pam, 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 pam. I said, great. Yeah, but that's not really what we need. You just crammed textbook and you came here. Then I asked a very practical question. She was looking like Dodo. Because she could not. You get it? That's why the medical students in Nigeria, they cram a lot. They know this and know that. A friend of mine who is a professor told me, he said, what you guys know here? It was so... He said they just put your medical students to stress. They're not practical. While some people are still... they are going to see dead body and they are queuing ward round. A girl was telling me that in the U.S. class, she's in first clinical year, I think so. And they were doing a chip that they can put into a patient's body. And you can travel anywhere. We'll be treating you forever you are. And you are still... you are collecting cards. No, they'll just be writing the drug for you. When you get to Salamajan, turn to the left. There's one guy there. His name is Richie. You buy it from him. So, it's what is used. The word Sophia is from the word Sophos, which means to be clever. Sophos. Clever. Intelligent. Clever. Intelligent. And that is always in the application of knowledge. Are you following? In the book of Matthew, that word is used. Jesus is used 3 times. I'll just give you the references. Matthew 11:19.
Then Matthew 12:42, the wisdom of Solomon. Matthew 13:54. Three times is used. Mark uses this once. Just once. So Luke has it two times, actually three times. No, more than three times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six times. And the first two instances used for Jesus were that Jesus grew in wisdom. Luke 2:40 and Luke 2:52. He grew in wisdom. That means people saw it. You know, the first place where he gave that term, he grew in wisdom, was when he went into the temple and the kind of questions he was asking. How did this fellow, the kind of things, the kind of way he understood things, was seen as clever. He grew in wisdom, stature with God and men. We'll see what that means. Favor with God and men. We'll see what that means before we close today. So, insight. In Luke 7, wisdom is justified of all our children. Luke 11:31. Well, there's insight. Luke 11:31. Said they will come to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Luke 11:31. Luke 11:49. He says, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. Said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. 11:49. Luke 21:15. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to gainsay or resist. A mouth or a wisdom they cannot gainsay or resist. Very applicable knowledge. Acts 6:3, they look for among you men full of wisdom. Men who are intelligent spiritually. Men who are clever spiritually. Men who have insight spiritually. Men who know how spiritually. Look for such people. Acts 6:10. Talking about Stephen, they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. The wisdom and the spirit. In Acts 7:10 and 22, he spoke about the wisdom in Egypt and all that. Romans 11:33. I want you to observe, because we will start mentioning details in a moment. 11:33. All the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So, wisdom will be seen. Wisdom is not inherent personal. Yes, it's in your personal life, but it will be seen. Clever. Intelligent. So that means there is intelligence that is in Christ. Intelligence. Now, don't ever apply this to doing well in school. Because I think that's what we're It's not the same thing at all. At all.
I shudder. Do you know that Jesus was never accorded any place of reverence in the natural? He wasn't called a brilliant man. He wasn't called a good orator. Everything about him was spiritual. His understanding of scriptures and the things of the spirit. How he handled men's conduct. Jesus was not known as somebody very good with iPads, laptops, how to drive very fast, how to pilot a plane, or no. Or he knows how to pick colors. Oh, Jesus. No. His wisdom was in insight about life in God. That was his wisdom. Because we're going to see in a moment, some people have the intent we just mentioned now, and when it comes to spiritual things, they are so stupid. Are you following what I'm saying? So, we look for among ourselves men full of wisdom. I was surprised. And I was so shocked. The church was talking about that place of scripture, talking about Nicky, and said, men who have wisdom. Men who have wisdom. And they got wisdom. What are you talking about? Wisdom! Said this man, he was financial controller, so there was someplace, he has wisdom! I said, oh. They said they could not resist the wisdom with which he spoke. He was speaking the word. Right? Who was Stephen? Who was he? In fact, the more reason why they stoned him. Who is this? Do you understand? I was asked what the business is. Look at these guys are so unlearned. They just going to have that. But they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. So the kind of what they were talking about is not natural wisdom. Hallelujah. Now you find that that word Sophia was used a lot in 1 Corinthians, in particularly book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. See how Paul now begins to play around it. So you find that there are kinds of wisdom. We have looked at wisdom in the general sense, is skillful, and I use an example for you of that guy who has skill. He has skill. There was a fellow like that. Who was talking to a partner of mine? So what's wrong with the generator? The guy said, things are smoke. He said, He said, oh, okay. Well, then he measured the bill. He said, 100,000. Okay, 80. Let me pay 70. Drop 60. So, but somehow, the guy said, let me come and pick it tomorrow. So he was still glad. You know, I call a friend, guys. What happened to your let me call someone else. I called him, said, go there. Do this. Do that. Okay. Give me by 7 a.m. to call. I'll come and pick the, what do you call it now? I've forgotten the name. So I'll pick it. When I pick it, he said, I will need, please, sir, because of my distance, just give me 5,000. Said, because I'll take like 2005 to say, on there for transport, and he goes, say, no! Everything that 2.5 to transport. You know, you know that. What's going on here? So, you know, he just said, no, 5, I'm paying 4. He said, oh, God, 4. He said, okay, now, okay. But he will have paid for foolishness. We're coming to that. Because you when you get to point, you won't laugh again. I promise you. He will have paid for foolishness. In his own eyes, he was pricing it. Say, 5K. Say, 4. The guy say, oh, okay, we'll get 4. Yeah, that means I have to. Yeah. He said, it's just 2,000. And the guy was going to collect 100K. But you see, he's not cheating him. His insight into two things. Wait. Insight into the machine and insight into his ignorance. Do you understand? Insight into his ignorance. You heard about the guy who came to Lagos? He said, all I do is say, I'm counting with you. You're counting big in Lagos. They say, how many of you got there? They say, 8. He said, I don't buy a bid. So the guy went by and said, I'm not a Lagosian. I counted 11, I told him 8. I don't know. So look at 1 Corinthians 1. You see, there are different kinds of wisdom. You get it? Why are you paid? You are paid because you have insight that others don't have. Right? Those people, for example, you have insight that others don't have. How are you paid? You don't know why you are paid? If everybody has the insight you have, you become poor. Right? If everybody has that, you just become poor. When the people first came to Nigeria and they brought mobile phone, it became a status symbol. Talk about. You know, talk about? The blue and black one. In fact, a cousin of mine, funny enough, everywhere he's going to, he will carry the carton of the phone. So if he wants to make a call, he will open it. Are you going to say, big boy? I mean, because he will not remove the battery, he will put it back. That is insight. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This is natural. Are you following this? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Now, that's not for lawyers. I just want to warn you. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? That means they become, when it comes to the gospel of Christ, the wisdom of this world appears foolish. So, you have noticed something now? Notice, mark the word, the wisdom of this world. The scribes were the well-educated people of those days. So the wisdom of this world is the knowledge we acquire in schools by training and all that. So there's wisdom of this world. And scriptures make it clear. That's not what we're talking about. The wisdom of this world. Verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Can you see two kinds of wisdom? Can you see two kinds of wisdom? In the wisdom of God. That is, there's the wisdom of God and there's the wisdom of the world. Now the point is, people say that all wisdom has come from God. We'll look at what that means, whether it is true or not. We'll see whether it is true or not. Whether all wisdom is from God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Wisdom of God or wisdom of man? Because in those days the Greeks were the most educated. That's why the Bible, the New Testament is in Greek, because that was it's just like the way the English language is today. So it says, for we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. To the Greeks, that's foolishness. But unto them which are called, let's read 24 together. Unto them which are called, let's take it one, everybody, let's go. Which are called, both Jews. Wait, let me say this. These are them who are called Greeks and Jews. On them who are called, Jews and Greeks. Not called Jews and called Greeks. That is, he's saying that both Jews and Greeks, both from those two nations, but are called. Do you understand? Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, what is that, a figure of speech, is wiser than men. What is the foolishness of God? What the wisdom of this world calls the gospel. Do you understand? It is that God is foolish. Okay? And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Who will call it weakness? That will be the Jews. For you see, because the word stumbling block is like a trap. Christ, this is, the cross is a trap. That's weakness. So, he says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many after the flesh, wise. So there's wise after the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. That's why I'm stunned. When we want to do a program in church, and we bring somebody because he is wise after the flesh. We begin to roll out his statistics. He at the age of 9, he became this. At the age of this, I was talking to, this is a funny one. I was talking to a pastor. I said, I have a friend. A senior friend. I said, he finished medical school in America at 19. Yeah. I said, by the time he was 22, he had a PhD in nuclear physics. I said he became the president of the Alpha Club for 4 years. I said he has so and so qualifications. I said so many things about the man. I said he discovered over 27 epidemics. I said he did this, he did that. I said he's on who is who and who is who. I said he's a life member of FDA in America. I said said he's my friend. There's somebody I can call now. So I said this. Say, hey. I said, is this. I said, is that. I said, by the time, what else? He said, we can bring you. I said, he's a Muslim. Say, depends. You get it? You get what I'm saying? So, to, now, you say, what is there? That is a Muslim. We don't use that to give somebody our pulpit. That's why most of them, when you give them your pulpit, they begin to say, quote about the Bible. You just quote one way in the Bible. Say, like the Bible says. When he was giving his speech, he didn't say, like, he will be very precise. Wait, the Bible even says, even. See? So, that's a man wise after the flesh. Okay? Are you there? Wise after the flesh. If you ask Carmen, go and preach the gospel, see how he will do it. One guy like that, someone said he took up evangelism in one first square church. Guy's very intelligent and all that. So he went out, just went out to a guy and said, guys, what's happening now? I'm so sorry and so. So I parked my car there. That should show you that whatever I came to do here is very important. Marketing. They are very important. You say, you know what? You know, Jesus is the happening person in town. That's why you see, family I came from, I'm this and this. And then I say, so, you know, you guys, you have to show up. You have to show up yourself. So those guys are followed into the church. They are not saved. I don't think they are till now. That kind of guy is a foolish man spiritually. He's a wise man after the flesh, but he's foolish. You follow what I'm saying? It's foolish. You know? So look at this. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The bases of the world and the things that are despised are God chosen, yea, things that are not. Please follow this, very vital. To bring to things that are, that no flesh, hallelujah, should glory. That's the way the wisdom of God is, that no flesh, you will not, you will not look at your intelligence. There are some people are very good orators with the Bible, but they are saying nonsense. They are very good orators. Somebody was doing the arithmetic of salvation. I said, it's small, small. You will start removing clothes outside. Selah. Look at verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the cross of Christ. Remember? The gospel. And righteousness. And sanctification. And redemption. He's referring to the crucifixion of Jesus. That is, in the crucifixion of Jesus, we see the wisdom of God. There is the intelligence of God there. And every one of us who have believed the gospel will receive that intelligence of God. Christ crucified, the power of God. That's where God showed that the wisdom of this world is foolishness. So when he mentioned the wisdom there, it's not the same thing we're going to see that James was saying you should pray about. Is that clear? So James didn't say, we have the wisdom of God. What he was talking about there is the gospel of Christ. Is that clear? Is that clear? So he now says, that glory in the Lord, then chapter 2 verse 1, I came to you not with the excellency of speech of wisdom. Which wisdom now? The wisdom of men. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. Look at the first thing he says. I am declaring that the word testimony there is mystery. Now, why? Now, do you see how he's explaining it? Why is it called mystery? Because it is not known to the wisdom of men. So the word mystery is in play. Is properly said. Paul did not just bring it from nowhere. He just showed you why it will be called mystery. So I'm not coming in the wisdom of men. But I'm declaring unto you the mystery of God. That is, what God did in Christ on the cross is mystery to the natural man. Are you following what I'm saying? Mysterion. The mystery of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling, much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom. Look at that word. Enticing words. Enticing words of man's wisdom. But in demonstration of spirit of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But in the power of God. Now what power is talking about? Don't forget. Christ crucified. The wisdom. And the power of God. Do you understand what he's saying? Now. Look at verse 6. And we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What is the wisdom we're talking about here? The wisdom of God, which is what? The redemptive work of Jesus. We speak this among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, of the rulers of this world. Not the wisdom in Astle Rock, not the wisdom in White House, not the wisdom in Downing Street, not the wisdom in Silicon Valley. It says, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God. How? How? So, the first thing about the wisdom of God is that it is in a mystery. The wisdom of God is in a mystery, which is what Mysterion. And the only way you unlock a mystery is revelation. Epignosis. That's where we started from, remember? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, mystery to God or mystery to intelligent man? Do you understand it now? So, that word mystery is a relative word. Just like 1 Corinthians 14:2. If you speak with tongues, you speak mysteries. Why? Because no man understands. That's the reason why. It's a mystery to man's understanding. It's not a mystery in itself. Do you understand this? Do you get this? So he begins to talk about the wisdom of God. And look at verse 11. So verse 10. God has revealed them unto us. Now look, let's read verse, okay, let's take verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, the word wisdom is not in the original, but it's not bad to quote that, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, and then none if they would not have what? So, what wisdom was it in 1 Corinthians 1:30? The crucifixion of Jesus. You will see he's not talking about everyday wisdom. He's not even talking about wisdom for spiritual growth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Is it very clear? They will not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, up till this point, what wisdom was he talking about? The death of Jesus. Is it clear? So, it says, but I have not seen, he has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love. But God has revealed them unto us by what? By his Spirit. So he has advanced his discussion. What has he advanced? The things. You understand? The things. So, there are things. He has just advanced the discussion now. Are you following this? Prepare for them that love him. So, the wisdom of God is how we know the men that love him. Because they believe. Now, what are the things that are for those who believe? He has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Not by Google. Not by iPhone. Not by NASA. By his Spirit. Is that very clear? So, we have man's wisdom. We have God's wisdom. So, we now have the wisdom of God, which is the redemptive work of Jesus, which forecloses, fulfills the prophecy of the prophets, which is the mystery of the prophecies of the Old Testament. The death of Jesus. Now, he now says, look at verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. The things also, let's take verse 12 to 13 together. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost comparing. Are you following what I'm saying now? So now we are going into the walk of the Christian. The things, not in man's wisdom. Not in man's wisdom. So this is not a scripture for promotion in office or doing well in school. No. He has already told you it's not in man's wisdom. And all of us, including Paul, including his audience, okay, they had the wisdom of this world. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I say I determined not to know it. That means it's something he knows. Are you following what I'm saying? It's something he knows. So, he is schooled in the wisdom of this world, and his audience too, a good number of them are. But he said, what we are sharing is revealed by the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, the wisdom, don't forget we're talking about wisdom in the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 3:19. We'll come back to this scripture in later weeks. Let's read verse 18 together. 1 Corinthians 3:18. So, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. We are coming to that. let him become a fool. Let me talk about this in a partial way. I've had to say this to many of my friends in those days who were medical doctors. The way they write divine healing, you say, wah, first of all, become a fool. This thing cometh not by stethoscopes and diagnosis. This is laying on our hands. How do you explain it? That I laid hands and the cancer disappeared. And that's a, is it in the recessive state? If I stone you. Do you get it? First of all, become a fool. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, it takes the wise in their craftiness. One of Pastor Tok's favorite scripture. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That they are vanity. Are you there? So we have wisdom. Wisdom of this world and wisdom that is in Christ. Then we have the word of wisdom. We don't have to go into that. Look at Paul now in Ephesians 1, verse 8. He now begins to talk about the wisdom of God. Wherein he had abounded unto all. Ephesians 1, 8, talking about salvation. In all wisdom and prudence. Is this natural or spiritual? Thank you. That is the skill of God in how he worked out redemption. There's a skill to God's wisdom in how he worked out redemption. Then he begins to pray. Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. I would say that the spirit of wisdom is wisdom of the spirit. Alright? He will grant unto you, where would you get that wisdom from? In the knowledge of him. So, you don't become wise spiritually as a believer, outside the knowledge of Jesus. That wisdom is where? In the knowledge of him. It comes by revelation. In the knowledge of him. You become skillful, smart. You become very smart and intelligent. In the knowledge of him. Said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The same word used for those who go to school. Being enlightened. That you may know. So you become enlightened. So the way we have illiterate and illiterate, semi-literate, partial literate, we also have literate believers and illiterate believers. For example, and this is not to, you know, imagine a service where somebody tells you, and you say, it's so funny, that if you lick his boots or shoes or whatever he wore, that you'll be blessed. It takes foolishness to do it. But I think even in the world and in Christ, both of them agree on that point. We'll come to all that. Let me rush. So, there's the wisdom of God that the believer begins to walk in. He's intelligent. And we'll not just hear, but we'll see him walk in it. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God. So let's quickly talk about this. You notice that the same way he talked about epignosis and the believer's conduct being affected. It's just what St. Peter, we read about Peter, right? Right? And is it the same wisdom that James was talking about? Huh? What did you say? Huh? The wisdom, James said, pray, very lack wisdom. Can a believer lack the wisdom? Can a believer lack wisdom? Why are you not praying for it? Why did Paul pray about it? Can a believer lack wisdom? You will get there now. You will see that many lack wisdom. Do you can lack wisdom now? Can a believer can be unintelligent spiritually? So what's the problem? Eh. So when James says you should pray for wisdom, is it not the same prayer Paul was praying in Ephesians 1? Huh? Because it's not increased knowledge of him. No, later on you will see it now. He said there's a wisdom that descends from heaven, from above. That's what he's talking about. There's one that comes from the earth, earthly. Are you following what I'm saying? So you have the use of language. So, Colossians 1:9, Paul's prayer was about wisdom. Let's look at it. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, that desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach, warn every man in all wisdom, that we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:3. In whom I eat all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Then verse 23. Which things show indeed a show of wisdom in the will worship. Colossians 4:5. I want us to read that one. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Redeem the time. Those who are not born again. So there's a way we walk in wisdom. Inside. Intelligently. With those who are not born again. You know that's what he said in Ephesians 5. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Read verse 15. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspect, that's wisely. Not as fools, but as wise. So can a believer walk as a fool? I know. He's a fool. But as wise. It's all about walking amongst the world. Intelligently. So, when James begins to say to pray, you notice that the background of that prayer was when you come against tests and trials in the world. So, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. If you lack the intelligence in how to walk and act in the midst of the persecutions and trials that in this world, to ask of God. Do you understand what he's saying? Is that the same as 1 Corinthians 1:30? Is it the same thing? Is 1 Corinthians 1:30 and James 1:5 saying the same thing? Are they contradicting each other? No. Do you understand? Go to James 3 again. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation. His works with meekness of wisdom. Works. Now look at where he now begins to talk. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not. And lie not against the truth. We're going to see that what he was talking about here is how the world functions. If you don't know by now that the world works with strife, bitterness, competition. That's how the world works. He says, this wisdom descends not from above. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Let's take 17 together. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
So by the time he goes to chapter 4, people thought he was talking about prayer. From whence comes wars and fights among you? Come they not ends even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. It's talking about lusts, not actions now. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, and you consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He's not talking about prayer at all. Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So he's talking about how lusts they work. Go to James 1:13, you see that very clearly. Lust, how lust leads to sin. What is teaching? Anyway, that's not our subject. 2 Peter 3:15. You now see the distinction between a believer who is wise and one who is foolish. 2 Peter 3:15. I'll start from 15. Yep. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, that's inside Sophia, had written unto you. So he has wisdom, he has insight, he has intelligence. So he's not talking about just Paul having knowledge, but also intelligence in how he communicates what he knows. And that's very vital. Many people don't understand that knowing something is not equal to being able to communicate it. There are some people who take a very good subject like that and they'll make a mess of it because they can't explain it well. So look at this. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, the word hard to be understood does not mean cannot be understood. It's the word this, N-O-E-T-O-S. It doesn't mean impossible, it just means difficult. That is, you have to stretch yourself to know it. Not that you cannot know it. And Peter has not said he does not know it. He's only said it is difficult to be understood. That's what he has said. Now, he says, which they that are unlearned, see how he starts, unlearned, unstable, do rest as they do other scriptures. Unlearned there is the word ignorant, untaught. Untaught. Uninstructed. So wisdom can be taught. Wisdom can be learned. It's untaught. I tell you many times, if you are in the ministry, it's not just good enough to have insight in the sense of you know scriptures. You also learn the intelligence in the subject matter. The intelligence. Sorry, matter. I told somebody, I think it was 2 days ago, I said, I've noticed that you like just putting out questions on Facebook. So what exactly do you want? Is that you want to communicate or just create a debate? I said, you are not acting wisely. I said, you are not. You are not. I said, because the thing is this. At the end of the day, what you are creating is debates. You are not being wise. And you will not, and the minute you start a debate, you will distract the entire thing. And what people should learn, they will not learn it. Somebody will just introduce something from Hades. And you see it there. I said, this is not wise. I said, watch how I talk. Just learn it.
That means he's not well taught. You say, what? How? I do it. Say, there are subjects I don't put out on social media. I won't even mention it. You say, what about this? I just refer it to somewhere. I know that if you are alone, the Holy Ghost will be with you. You know what I mean by that? Have you ever guessed it before? There is a place in us. He just said, you come. Because when there are two people together, someone say, I know many people who oppose things when they listen to it on their own. And that is the power of the media. See, when they tell people, don't go and listen to that man of God, it's from the devil. We saw him ministering to the devil, or the devil ministering to him and all that. But do you know that people, that they listen to the devil, well, it's okay. When he's on their own, they are just watching. I know, for example, a man who, if I had just seen him, I'm not sure we'll have a good discussion about gifts of the Spirit. I'm sure he will have argued ego-wise. But he said on his own. On his own. That he just listened. You know that is? On his own. If I created a debate, it's not likely he will know anything. So there is wisdom. You can be intelligent about ministry. There are some things when you are preaching, you will not even mention it. Some people say, what about this? Say, I'm not talking about it today. When you talk about it, keep coming. If Jesus can say, I have yet many things to say. Some people say, should I say it? Somebody saw someone come to a religion and brought out his sword. Is that the person you want to tell all of the truth? So, you know you can have Bible knowledge and yet you are foolish. You know, I'm not talking about ministry, I'm talking about ministry. Just wait. We are going to read the Bible together. You are foolish. Are you following what I'm saying? And Paul said that, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. You are not able to bear it. That means he was able to look at his audience. You should be able to know. That means there are things you can say somewhere, you can't say in another place. That is wisdom. Divine intelligence. How did God conceal something for about 4,000 years? Say, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Some people have written it for them. Come and see it now. This is someone learning something here. So there's intelligence. So here is Peter. So you went quiet. Why are you quiet? Unlearned, which is, you know, you have the word manthes or mantos. Mantanos, sorry. Where you are referring to someone who is instructed. When you have a mantanos, that is what? Negative. Remember? A mantanos. They are not instructed. There's a skill. For example, in ministry to Bible teaching. There's a skill to it. Some people think, just let me go and get Greek word. You just become a Greek. That's all that happens to you. And look at, if you can listen well, we're going to see how wisdom is gotten by losing your ears. Just listen. Listen. Apply sweet to hear, slow to speak. Calm down. There's a young man I saw who posted on where the babies come from. And I said, young man, I said, you don't have to tell me where you got that teaching from. It's not Kenyon, it's not Egi. I was the one that taught it. It's not even Paul. In case you want me to tell you. That teaching, I was the one that taught it. He said, but have you ever seen me teach about it? He said, no. He said, why are you not doing it? You are greater than Solomon. Why not refer people to where you heard it from? Are you afraid they won't come back to you? Refer them to it. What you have said, you made a mess of it. And the guy was very honorable. He did. I think he did. He said that. So the guy said, I want to stop my own ministry. Go ahead. Because what, look at what Peter said they would do. Look at it. Unlearned and unstable. Look at the word unstable. Word unstable is the word asterictos. E-S-T-E-R-I-K-T-O-S. Is used for not having a staff to lean on. They don't have something to lean on. If you look at how, when we do our teaching notes in this church, you come and ask the pastors, we ask you, where are you teaching from? Where? I'm teaching from So Great Salvation 1, track 3. You get it? That's where you are teaching from. Unstable. They have nothing they are leaning upon. They are just moving. Those of guys like that, if you just follow what they teach, what they preach, they just all over the place. And they will rest the scriptures unto their own destruction. The word rest is the word steblo. S-T-E-B-L-O-O. It means to distort. It means to pervert it. You are not the one that sinned, it's your body. Come and steal my money. I don't know whether it's your spirit that will come with you. A believer cannot sin. If there's no sin, I know that. I asked a guy. He said, sorry, what I'm going to say. But if a believer, for example, if you kill your father, he has not sinned. Say, he's not the one that did it. I said, who did it? And the funny thing is that the devil will be teaching, your sins are forgiven. Yes, I said, so which sins were forgiven? The sins he cannot sin. Jesus prayed for the sins you can never commit. It's unintelligent. People are preaching and they're not intelligent, they will never cover all the bases. You are quiet now. Unintelligent. Do you understand? They will rest the scriptures to their destruction. They will be perverting it. That word, steblos, in the original language Greek, it means to torture something. They are torturing the scriptures. Bah! Bah! Are you following what I'm saying? So, wisdom for living is not automatic, right? It's not because you are born again. Like Peter said, you have to add to yourself. You have to add to it. You have to add to it. So the first thing, it is received, then it is also applied. Otherwise, if wisdom is not received, look at Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians. I wish that can be allowed to be applied elsewhere. Because when you see people take comb in church, very soon they'll say you should bring yam. No, it's not. We have seen services in Nigeria where people are told to say, the spirit of man is the kind of Lord, bring candle. And they were lighting candle in the service. It's not funny. If you start from feet washing, you go to God of sprinkling, you go to mantle, you go to eating the communion table, you now go to an empty. If you look at it, you are going to graduate, you now go to candle, go and look at Leviticus. The next thing you are going to is incense. I'm not joking, though. Okay, our prayers are like incense unto him. Hallelujah. It takes to be a fool to call the Holy Ghost anointing oil. It is foolishness. And you see people, when they were doing come, professors were doing like this. So you see, it's very intelligent, but then, that if you want blessing, do that. If you want to say, chase your enemy. And he has not said his enemy because in the newspaper every day they are kissing. Why are you laughing? I don't want any of you to have said. You know, just be smart spiritually. Amen. You can be smart. You can be a smart. You know, you don't need to always hear God's voice. You see, sometimes I say, God, speak to me. Listen very well to this. God, speak to me. How? When do you want to speak to me? Speak to me. Who is talking? You take the Bible, say, Lord, speak to me, and you read the Bible. The Bible says, you're not following what I'm saying. Let me say it again. You know that? Lord, I want you to talk to me as it is written in your word. You're only just being unintelligent. Amen? Are you? Well, I'm not starting. We'll get there. Look at this. So wisdom is not automatic. Spiritual growth does not happen at the new birth. It's not working on miracles. You know, does not happen with community when they lay hands on you. I just grieved that night. Pastor, whatever. You have to Peter says, apply these things. Hallelujah. And that's what this series is about. I believe you will enjoy yourself. You will laugh at yourself, son. You cry some, you smile some, but you'll be very blessed. Galatians 3:1. Are you learning something? Are you very sure? Can be intelligent about spiritual things. Can be intelligent. Let me guess, an instance. When I was younger, what we used to call anointing, just lay and go up on your pa! Ah! Ha ha ha! You know? Ah! I don't lay out. After a while, you will stop coming. Because it's just tornado service you're having. So I started saying, obviously there was the power of God there, but I was foolish about it. Then they decided that I now, because where I learned anointing from in the first I now started reading Kenneth Hagin. Tongues are interpretation. Interpretation. Tongues are interpretation. Prophecy. I thought it was just, thank you, God! So I can be intelligent about this. So I don't have to go, and I say, So I can actually be calm, and then, so I can say that, and then still minister to somebody. Somebody receives, somebody is healed, somebody gets direction somewhere, word of knowledge is given, then I can eventually sit lay my hands on. But I've done so much in 30 minutes than create so much prayer confusion in 30 minutes. That's intelligence. When I was younger, I want to preach. They say, 45 minutes. First mention for sanctification, faith, holiness, grace, prayer. Come on. You guys have to study. You are foolish. Do you understand? You are foolish. You can be intelligent. Amen. We are going to see you can be intelligent about sin. Sin. So you are running. Where you are running to, there is sin there. Amen. Those who kill television. Who says television you see? And they leave him. They go to marry him. Sorry, I'm not trying to badmouth anything, but or some faculties on campus. If you go there, Jesus looked at the multitude and so you can be intelligent even about things like healing. How can you You say you want to pray in tongues overnight. In this weather, and you close the window, you have a vision. There is no way you will not have it. You see? You see? You are not being intelligent. Okay, let's look at, there are things in the Bible, in the epistles. Where were we now? Galatians 3, you know, I've never opened to it. You know, Galatians 3:1. That's when you start to pastor, you are not rushing anywhere. Where are you going? Where? So today I was talking to Pastor Chris Okoti, and I saw a series. I thought I was surprised that was a big problem. I saw a series, The Promise of God. It's a promise of rights or something. 115. I said, sir, what's happening? He said, it's my church. He said, I stop where we can start next week. I said, where I was coming from? When I finish with you, you'll be dead. This man knows the word. They can say you know the word, but they will not know anything you have said. Because you are both foolish. Galatians 3:1. All foolish Galatians. They are born again, no? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eye Jesus Christ had been ever set forth, crucified among you. Look at the kind of question. Is it? He's asking them rhetorical questions. No, that's how you talk. What's wrong with you? That is the question. Why are you thinking like this? Can't you know? You know that guy? You met somebody who had been learning the word. I was there, and then they went for a crusade. And she came out of that. With handkerchief that was turned into two. I said, where do you get this from? Say it's a crusade. Say, I don't understand. That they are selling handkerchief for 100k. Anointing of 100k. But if you have 100k, you are already asking 50k. You said. I said, and I asked her, did you divide anointing? You know, that's the kind of question Paul is asking here. I said, so you are not bringing half anointing home. She was looking at me. I said, so what can this one do now? These are the questions Paul was asking you. If the full anki can chase away a demon, I say it is true. That means the demon will be like this. So, I'm not fully gone, no. So look at me like that. So whatever you think of Galatians 3, that's the kind of question he was asking. Use your intellect. What is this? This only would I learn of you. Receiving his feet by the one over the end of it. End of it. So when you're talking to people who are foolish, they'll be answering the question themselves. So go on. Are you so foolish? He got so angry in verse 4, 3. Are you so foolish? Not foolish. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? He that ministers to you the spirit and walk miracles among you, do anybody walk around by the hand of faith? He's asking questions to jerk them from foolishness to intelligence. You can't be saved by grace and lose it by works. It's a simple thing. It's not an argument. So there, you know, someone, a Christian, over to pray. This is why you are laughing because it doesn't come to you. I'm coming to us. Let us pray. What's wrong with you? Yeah, no, for the presence of God. And I said, you know, years ago. I said, sister so and so, from your kind of air, do you shower cap? She said, no. You don't use shower cap. You sing when you're in the bathroom. She said, yes. And God takes your praises. She said, she has never thought like that. That's a foolish Christian. You cover your head in church and open your head somewhere else and you are singing. Is it not the same God you are singing? So he says, testing, testing. This is for church. No. Jesus said, say, cover your head. Yeah, don't cover your head. This. But is this not air? Saying, yes. You've not covered it. You've not covered it. And so he comes and says, someone has still come here because you have some hair that still come. Because the issue is air. We are coming to us, so it's good to be laughing. So when we get to you, you must laugh. The one thing I've learned is that anytime I'm preaching about it, I first of all abuse myself. I'll tell you my own life story. You will laugh. So when I now talk about somebody, don't be angry. I've used myself so I can use you. Okay, look at this. So say, oh fool, slow of heart. The one he said, when he said, oh fools, Luke 24:25, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. That, you, these scriptures, you know them. But you just not taught them through. You haven't thought this thing through. You will see there's foolishness too in the way we pray. There's a way we can pray in a foolish way. How can you say God touch his heart? What does it mean? With what? Hot iron? Touch his heart. What kind of prayer is touch his heart? What does it mean to touch someone's heart? If you go and read your Bible, it's adding the heart. You know that? Be intelligent. There's an intelligent way. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Now, I have to rush now. I've got time. I hope you are learning something. You will be intelligent. We have wise. So you can see we can have foolish Christians. Who are foolish? They are not thinking through. These guys in Galatia, they were not thinking through. Look at the 1 Corinthians 10, 15. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 10, 15. Let's go. I speak as to wise men. Judge you wise. The word wise is the word phronismos. Phronismos. P-R-O-N-I-M-O-S. It means to be discreet. To be discerning. To be cautious. Something about wisdom is that you will be cautious. You will be discreet. You also be discerning. That word, phronismos, means to be sensible. Full of sense. I like something to know what Bola Tinubu says oftentimes. That what Nigeria needs is a revision of common sense. That just use your sense. You know, I think it's true. You just don't think. So, you know, it's the way we just reason funnily. You know, Christians can think. Not think in the natural, no. Just think through the scriptures. And you'll be intelligent. Hallelujah. We will talk about ministry, about relationship. We're going to talk about a lot of things though. And you see what the word of God says. You didn't just think through. Look at this. That word, sensible, you will see it in the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, verse 2, verse 4, verse 8, verse 9. Did you notice that the issue was that some were able to keep to buy more than enough. Just being sensible. Just being sensible. That is, you are discerning.
You see it in Matthew 24:25.
Look at Matthew 10:6. Jesus says, be as wise as serpents and gentle. Be as smart. That is, in the work of ministry, you have to be smart. There are places that you won't say anything. There are places that you will talk. There are things, there are places that you're not, don't say anything. You know? I'll give, even with the devil, there was, you know, the devil also can be outsmarted. We'll look at it, I'm going to go in details. There was something, you know, look at Jesus. Let me give it. Look at those wise men that came from the east. They went to Pharaoh, Herod. And Herod said, okay, go and, you know, bring word to me. The reason why he said that was he said they didn't know where he was. So he couldn't be doing stop and search with them. He said, okay, when you come back. So they were warned not to go back. Look at that. God says, don't go and tell him. Why didn't God say, let's see who he is, we'll destroy him? He said, don't tell him. And they did it. No, some guys will have tweeted it. We found him. There are some things you will know by word of knowledge you won't say. You will know it. You will even see the vision and you won't talk about it. Paul said there are some things he did not utter. It is just being intelligent with the things of the Spirit. You can be intelligent. You can be intelligent about God's plan and purpose for your life. You can be intelligent about how you run your life generally. There are things that you don't say around your family members. You are just being intelligent. There are things that you will know in the place of prayer and you will not use as a confession in church. We'll see all that. Are you following what I'm saying? And there's also, as we're going to see, intelligence to spiritual growth. You can actually plan your growth as a Christian and not be foolish about it. Those, for instance, who gather different ministers, they are not being wise. You can't grow like that. You can't. We'll see it. There is wisdom in the wisdom of God. Romans 12:16 says, when you are wise in your eyes, I just went through that. 1 Corinthians 4:10 talk about being wise in Christ. You are discreet. It says, judge ye what I say. I'll rush through that. The word judge means, is the word krino. K-R-I-N-O. It means to think over it well. And to know how to separate issues. I'll close here. So the man who is wise knows how to separate issues. He knows how to do it. He knows how to separate issues. The man who is wise. Go to Luke 2, and I'll close there. So let me just say this. There's a skillfulness available to us in epignosis. As we grow in that precise understanding, Luke 2, there's a skillfulness. Spiritual growth is known by how intelligent you are. How intelligent you are. Hallelujah. You know, there's intelligence in ministry. There's intelligence in discipleship and follow-up. It's in scripture. Some of us will burn our energies because we are not intelligent. And then we get frustrated. Because we are not walking in the wisdom of God. When Christ died, in his very sacrifice and his resurrection, he made available to us such insights that are in God, that we can walk in our everyday life. There's a wisdom when you're under persecution. There's a wisdom to it. Look at Luke 2. Are you there? You learning something here? And he grew strong. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. In 52, and he increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. So it affected how he walked with God and how he related with men. When you are growing spiritually, it doesn't worsen your behavior amongst men. It actually smoothens it. I'll tell you this in our close. There are these family folks of mine. I was just irritating them. And I didn't know I was. If they ask a question, "Sir, won't you sit there?" I say, "I'm seated in heavenly place." I'll just be saying scripture. Everything I will give scripture. They say, "Should we cross?" I can say, "Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side." And there was. And I was becoming a nuisance, a big fool. The funny part was, he didn't stop me from begging for money. With all my insights, as it were. Forget me. Yeah, I found out I couldn't reach them. I couldn't communicate anything to them. Because I was not wise. Amen. There's wisdom. Praise God. And we choose to walk in it. Are you blessed this evening? Stand to our feet. Give them praise. Thank you.